The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Thank you for joining us today on Kingdom Connection. It's my prayer that God will use something specific in this broadcast today to really speak directly to your spirit. I say that with confidence because I know God still speaks to us, and it's really our desire here that you will open your heart and hear a now word of what God is saying to you. We're so grateful to have you with us on Kingdom Connection today. Let's go right into the service. I want to talk to you for a few moments. I feel like the Lord's really dealt with my heart about, I'm giving the title in the form of a question. Can Jesus use me? That's what I want you to ask yourself. Can Jesus use me? And in Matthew 21, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. And this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them, and a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road." Notice that. "And others cut down branches, trees, spread them on the road. The multitudes who went before them cried out, saying, 'Hosanna, son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Can Jesus use me? Everybody say that. Can Jesus use me? This third verse is what I really want to center in on. The Lord, this particular chapter, I could have read this story in all four Gospels because it's so important. All four writers of the four Gospels of the New Testament, all four of them included this story and used that phrase. One of them made it different and said, "The Lord has need of him." But the point is clear. What's interesting about this text is nowhere else in all the Bible does God ever have a need. The scripture said the Lord has need of him. Jesus told them to tell anyone who tried to stop them from taking that animal and bringing it for his purpose. He said, "You tell them the Lord has need of that. I need that." I mean, you can't find in the Bible where God has a need. He said in Acts chapter 17 that I'm not worshipped with man's hands. Listen to these words, as though God needs anything. That's in Acts 17, as though God needs anything. God doesn't need anything. He's self-sufficient. And yet this text said God needs something. This is the only place in the Bible where God said, "I need something outside of myself. You need water, you need food, you need stuff to survive." God says, "I don't need anything." God even said in Acts 17, I don't even need your worship. We think we come to church because God needs our worship. God does not need your worship. You need to worship. You need the house of God. You need to lift your hands in gratitude and praise the Lord. God is not the one who needs the worship. You need to worship because you're going to worship something. And you're going to worship somebody, and you need to worship God. In Psalms 50, he said, "If I were hungry, would you feed me?" That's the great famous verse where he says, "I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to give me? You don't have anything I need." But in this text, this unusual text, Jesus said, "I need that donkey." want you to notice he didn't say, I need a white stallion. I need a beautiful show horse, a Tennessee Walker or a Clydesdale that's got powerful muscles. I don't need any of that. In one of the most critical moments of Jesus' earthly ministry, he would use that animal to go into Jerusalem the last week of his life and die on the cross for you and for me. And in one of the most critical moments of his life, he said, I don't need a stallion. I need that donkey. I need it. I can't take salvation to the world unless I can use something that I can ride on. A donkey is a beast of burden. A donkey, more than anything else, is a burden bearer. If you've ever been overseas and you go to the mission field, you'll see a lot in places like Haiti. You'll see people in South America or wherever in third world countries. You will see a lot of donkeys. And sometimes you will see those donkeys just so covered in a load, big bags on the side that are so massive that you can't even hardly, the animal's so low to the ground, and you can't even hardly see the thing except for its head and its tail because it's carrying such a load. If a donkey is anything, it's a burden bearer. The church was not built by stallions. The church was built by people who would take on a burden. Great families are not built by show horses. Somebody's got to carry a burden. Somebody's got to carry a burden for the house of God, for the finances of the house of God, for the worship. Somebody's got to carry a burden of prayer. Somebody's got to carry a burden of praise. Somebody's got to start carrying a burden to win the lost again. Because we're in the most critical time in my lifetime in the history of this nation, and people are lost and deceived, and they don't know Jesus. They know religion, they've heard the story, but they don't know Jesus. And somebody's got to carry a burden of bringing Jesus to a lost and dying world. Somebody's got to get it. Somebody's got to get it. And I want to give you some lessons from this story that I pray will become real to you and it will answer. Because when I look at this donkey, I see the kinds of people Jesus can use. The kinds of people Jesus will choose and use are found in this story. And I'm going to give you five, maybe six, if I have time, quick things that this story teaches us, lessons from the donkey of what qualifies you to be used by God. Number one, the greatest blessings come from the greatest burdens you bear. Jesus Christ was the greatest blessing, but understand this, the burden that animal bore was the blessing that he carried. All we care about in this generation is the blessing, the blessing, the blessing. I want the blessed life. Somebody needs to write a book about the burden life. Because the greatest blessings in life always come out of the heaviest burdens that you have to carry in life. You cannot separate the blessings from the burdens. If you get a burden, then the blessings will come. Notice that the weight of Jesus on that animal, that was the burden, and yet the burden was the blessing that God would use. When you understand that the burden of Jesus Christ is where the blessing comes from. It is a burden to carry Jesus, to live for Jesus, to have convictions, to stand for what is right. It's a burden, but out of that burden comes the greatest blessing. And many of you are dealing with burdens in your family and in your home, but I want to encourage you today that the greatest blessings of our life do not come just out of blessings and blessings and blessings, but the greater the burden, the greater the blessing. And you're not qualified to be used of God until you understand that. I've never seen a pretty donkey. Why does Napoleon always pose in a picture? Why does Alexander the Great, any of the ancient pictures that they're seen in, they're never riding on a donkey. They're riding on some beautiful stallion that's rearing up on his hind legs. And they did that because they understood we need to position the king and show and project an image of authority and power. But here comes the King of Kings. He doesn't need anything to make him look powerful. He doesn't need your talent, your good looks, your great singing ability, or my preaching ability to look good. He can use anything and anybody who'll get up under a burden. If you don't have a burden, I don't care how talented you are, God can't use you. You got to get a burden for the lost. And if you're going to carry Jesus, the greatest blessings come out of the burden of carrying Jesus. We want everything easy. I don't want my friends to make fun of me. I don't want to not get invited to the party. That's the burden of carrying Jesus. Nobody wants to hang out with me right now, and I can't get nobody to date me because they want me to do things. That's the burden of carrying Jesus. But when you carry the burden of Jesus, the blessing will come. And you can't have one without the other. Number two. If you want Jesus to use you, this story teaches us Jesus calls the unqualified. This messed me up right here. I've never seen this like this. Just reading through the story, and there's one place where it says, it gives more description of this animal, and this is what it says. It says, it's a donkey that has never been ridden before. You'll read right over that. You know what that means? That means it was an unqualified carrier. It wasn't trained. It wasn't qualified. If God's going to use you, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have a degree in theology. The first thing you got to do is get under the burden of carrying Jesus Christ. If you'll carry Jesus Christ into the workplace, they don't care about the Greek and the Hebrew and what the exegesis of that text means. All they want to know is they can feel the difference when you walk into that room and you're carrying Jesus and you're under the burden. I care about you. I love you. I can pray for you. I've got a living relationship. The one riding me is real. Jesus uses and calls the unqualified. You say, well, I don't understand everything. You don't have to understand everything to do great things for God. I look back when I started preaching over 30 years ago. I did not know a lot about the Bible. I didn't know a lot about preaching. I didn't know how to preach. It was pitiful. But I carried a burden. And I knew Jesus was on my back. The King was on my back. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just felt like, oh God, I've got to preach or I'll die. I've got to preach or my life is meaningless. I've got to preach. I've got to do it. And I didn't know how. And many times when I first started preaching, I made a fool of myself. Some of you say, I can hear it. I can hear your thoughts. You still do. I know. I hear you. But I'm so glad God doesn't just use stallions. I'm so glad he uses people who are not qualified. But if you go down the road with him, he'll qualify you. He'll train you. He'll teach you. He'll mentor you. He'll raise you. And people won't give you the glory. They'll give the one you're carrying the glory. Because you'll mess up, but he'll never mess up. Give the Lord a mighty praise if you're thankful. Say, Lord, you can use me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's something that's so important. This story teaches us that You have to carry Jesus. But Jesus will do the heavy lifting. What do you mean? Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely, listen to it. Surely he has borne our grief. He has carried our sorrow. You carry me, I'll carry that stuff. We esteemed him stricken, afflicted of God, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then it goes on to say, the Lord, listen to it, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You carry Jesus. You carry the burden of carrying Christ, the reproach of carrying Christ, sometimes the rejection of carrying Christ, but he lifts the heavy load. I hear young people say, it's too hard to live for God. It's too hard to live for God. No, it's not. Not if you really live for him. He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll carry the heavy stuff, and you carry me. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but you don't have to carry the heavy lift. You don't have to make it on your own. There is a Savior who says, I'll help you. Grace will lighten your shame and your guilt. Grace will lighten the load of past failure. Grace will pick you back up. Here's another big one. This is number four. Donkeys are built for endurance, not speed. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, the race is not to the swift. Boy, are we going to ever learn that? How many ministries have we seen? One thing about this little church, I know we go through our ups and downs and our little deals, but we're not some little fly by night built on a hot shot preacher or something or another. We're going to go back to this book every time. We're going to get on our knees. We're going to love one another and forgive one another. We are not a flash in the pan ministry. A mule is not a racehorse. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. But he, listen, that endures to the end shall be saved. And boy, you better get a hold of that, because people are quitting the race. People are giving up the race. People are falling aside like a plague. And many of you, you're losing that joy, that peace, that fire for God. And you don't understand. It's not how good you started, but I have made up my mind. I'm going to make it to the finish line. I don't care what. I can't let nothing stop me. I've got to make it to the finish line. This is an endurance race. How many of you would say, Pastor Franklin, I have truly been blessed by God. He's done amazing blessings in my life. I don't deserve the house I have. I don't deserve the car I have. I don't deserve the life I have. Come on, let me see your hand. I don't even deserve it. Well, here's a big lesson from this story. It's so important. You carry the burden, but don't ever forget, Jesus gets the praise. It would have been easy for that donkey when he started entering into Jerusalem, and all he was ever used to was old muddy trails. Now they're throwing expensive coats down. Read the Bible. They're taking their coats off and throwing it down. And now he's walking a path of prosperity. Woo! High stepping. Everybody's screaming, Hosanna! Hosanna! Voices of praise coming from everywhere. Wonderful! Counselor! It could have been easy for that donkey to actually think, they are really impressed with me. You carry the burden, but he gets the glory. He gets the praise. He gets the honor. And some of you better go back to giving him the glory. It's not about you, donkey. You need to give him some praise. Corey Ten Boom said, I was just the donkey that carried Jesus to the multitudes. And if you'll be that kind of person, that'll give him the praise for every victory, for every success in your life. Give him the glory. I close with this. Jesus can't use you, this story teaches us, until you get untied. He said, you're going to find that colt and it's going to be tied to a post. And he said, loose it. Untie it. When you're tied to something, the scenery never changes. When you're tied to an addiction, all you see is drug addiction. Same old thing every day. Tied to it, and that's your whole world. It's a whole world out there. But this, when you're tied to guilt and shame, that's all you see. When you're tied to alcohol, that's all you see. When you're tied to an immoral life, that's all you see. You can try to get away every once in a while, but you can't because you're tied to it. But when Jesus unties you, watch this, and he begins to get in you and ride on you, he'll take you to places you've never been. You'll see a whole new world. You'll see a whole new life. You'll realize I was thinking so small, God really can use me. And if you'll get loose and let him lead you, Jesus says, I'll change the road you're walking on. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lift your hands and worship him all over this room. Come on. Come on. Now go back to my title and say, can Jesus use me? Can Jesus use me? Yes, he can use you if you will let him do what he did for that lowly animal. He will use you.
Thank you so much for being with us today on Kingdom Connection. It's because of you we're on television right now. Our number one goal is to reach people with the gospel, to find the hurting, the broken, those that feel like they don't matter and don't count, and call them into a real loving relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're hurting today and you're watching right now and you want to give your life to Jesus, why don't you just repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, just say those words. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You died and shed your blood to forgive me and rose again to live through me. I give you my life. Give me your peace. Give me your help. Give me your purpose for my life. Help my family. Help me. Direct me. Guide me through this time. In Jesus' name, I don't want to be alone anymore. Amen and amen. I really want you to know a miracle just happened. Our team has prepared a special kit designed for your new walk with the Lord. We really want to help you. We pray that this 21-day devotional will bless you and guide you. Whatever season of life that you may be in, you'll sense the presence, the peace, and the goodness of God. For decades, I've set the beginning of the year for prayer and fasting. I know we're approaching Christmas and the holidays. We've come through so much with the election. And it's feast time again. Hopefully we'll be able to get together with our families and have big Christmas celebrations. But this January, in just a few short weeks, we'll be coming together as a ministry to set aside the first of the year and seek God in fasting and in prayer. For 21 days, we will seek the face of the Lord. Our team has put together some unique resources to help you plan and prepare and to build your faith for a successful fast. You can do it. And please know that your gift of support to this ministry helps us keep preaching the message of Jesus Christ all around the world in over 200 nations all over the world. You keep it going. You make it happen when you give. That's our primary reason for being here. Everything else is just that we do. And we do a lot of missions and we do a lot of support stuff. But the primary reason we're here is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to 200 nations through this broadcast and create inspirational resources to use and bless people's lives and tell them more about Jesus. Thank you. Please help us end strong this year. Give an unusual gift. We need your support to do what God has called us to do. Thank you.
Are you ready to transform your life? Now you can experience Jensen Franklin's dynamic teaching on fasting in his New York Times best-selling book, Fasting. You'll receive the keys to encountering the countless rewards and blessings of fasting that open the door to a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Everything you need to access the power of biblical fasting is found in the 2020 Fasting Kit, including the types of fasts in the Bible, the secret to a successful fast, choosing the right fast for you, the connection between fasting and prayer, how to begin and end your fast, the essential components of a successful fast, what to expect physically, mentally, and spiritually. With your generous gift of $1,000 or more this month, you'll not only help us preach the gospel through the broadcast to over 200 nations globally, but help us go above and beyond to help our partners in Israel. You can request the 2020 Limited Edition Fasting Kit, plus this lovely replica of the type of oil lamp commonly used in Jesus' day. We'll also include this specially created blanket inscribed with the Numbers chapter 6 blessing and our special edition Legacy Bible with over 300,000 words of commentary, including highlights from Jensen Franklin's fasting teachings. Or with your best gift of $50 or more, you can receive Jensen Franklin's fasting kit and get ready for God's power to break through in your life. Fasting is a tremendous weapon and a source of power in the life of every believer. Experience it today.
Sharice and I want to invite you to join us on our Holy Land tour. It's an amazing trip, unlike anything you've ever experienced. And we'll be on the trip. We get on the buses. Our family will be on there. And I promise you, it will change your life. You've been thinking about it. You've been praying about it. This is the year to go. God's going to open your eyes to things you've never seen and experienced before in the Holy Land. Get signed up today.
This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.